Good morning and good afternoon over there in Poland. Today we have Redek with Bouncer. They're an email deliverability company. They really help companies out there ensure that their emails are getting into inboxes and not bouncing. So without further ado, we'd love if you can introduce what your company does and tell us about more about what you guys do over there.
Yeah, thank you, Andy, for having me. It's a privilege. We're okay. Humbled and honored to be on your show. Yes, so as you mentioned, we are an email deliverability company. We like to kind of position ourselves as those that help people get connected and stay connected via email. So we started with email verification solution to, you know, make sure that all of us that are communicating with their customers over email, first of all, capture the correct data at the moment of entry, and later on that they are able to, like, in an easy way to maintain the clean lists of their recipients, of their customers, of their partners for various reasons. But yeah, I guess we all are more or less aware that we do need to make sure that our lists are clean so that our emails do reach the inboxes of our recipients. Of course, we don't plan to stay there. It's our beachhead. It's our, you know, starting point, email verification, and then some additional deliverability solutions. But we plan to expand the value proposition and help actually marketers, businesses, small businesses, enterprises to be better connected in the email channel. But ultimately, you know, we don't have any email in our name, so it may happen that we're gonna also touch on other channels, communication channels, when they are in need of solutions like our.
Awesome. So how common are email sending and deliverability issues today for B2B companies? Obviously, a lot of these email providers like Gmail, Yahoo are really starting to crack down on especially cold email marketing. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. So, it depends on the on actually the types of communication and the tactics and marketing strategies of companies, because each strategy brings different challenges. But of course, not to try to scare anyone. In general, with the deliverability, email deliverability is a complex thing. There's a lot of factors. There's a lot of changes in the environment, but there's also many basic principles that have been there for years, but right now start to be like enforced in a, let's say, broader scale. But in general, I think that with the email deliverability challenges is like there's a thing that's it's not a question of if you will have some challenges, but rather when and if you can actually prepare for actually, you know, mitigating those challenges, those obstacles, those issues. So that's why we are trying to educate as much as we can our customers, our potential customers, in general, marketers, to educate with what are those principles and what are those main key factors that have been important actually since day one of email. But nowadays, with the huge scale of the emails being sent all over the world and the battle between the email service providers and the spammers and the phishers, frauds, how not to be caught in the, you know, in the middle fire or get some challenges. Yeah, but it's a complex thing.
Any general tips that you would offer for improving your email deliverability?
I usually like to answer that kind of question in a philosophical, let's say, manner. If I was to but also happy to share some practical tips.
I'm a philosophy guy myself, so.
Oh, awesome. I believe, and I truly believe that actually email deliverability is a result of respect. Of a respect that we actually express towards humans and also resources. And so from one perspective, let's start with the resources. It's about making sure that you're not like abusing someone else's resources, meaning their email servers with, let's say, unpredictable blasts of emails. But also you have to respect your own resources. So your reputation, but also your identity. So that's why making sure that you do have well authenticated setup with the, you know, those acronyms like SPF, DKM, DMARC is a super important thing, so that you are protecting your infrastructure from malicious agents that would like to impersonate you. We can talk about that aspect in a bit, but it's a respect. So respecting and caring for resources, and on the other hand, also respecting and caring and showing some kind of love to your recipients. So making sure that you're prospecting well, or making sure that you are actually delivering on promise, making sure that whatever you are sending, so any kind of content that you're sending is actually, or offer that you're sending out is going to be valuable, is going to, you know, bring a value to your recipients. So, you know, not necessarily spray and pray approach is, well, that definitely that kind of approach has never been a good one. But nowadays, even more important is to, you know, segment your lists properly to make sure that you do know what are the interests of your, you know, of your subscribers, what are the interests of your potential, you know, customers, and etc. So there's a lot into that. But if I was to, let's say, memorize one thing, it would be respect. I hope it makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, at a high level philosophy, there's always like a huge story behind it, right? It could be a simple a line or sentence, right? But if you really look into it, there's like a whole story there and a lot of lessons to be learned. So definitely agree with you on that point there. And another one I'd probably add too is, you know, if it's a B2B outbound email, maybe, you know, use their work address. Don't send it to their personal email, because a lot of people mm-hmm. Weird. They like to keep their personal life and their work life separate.
So, oh, yeah. And the call me email, actually, if I can elaborate about that a bit. So anyway, any kind of called outreach, but specifically called email is, from one perspective, I see it as a kind of equalizer, meaning with not that huge budgets, businesses, you know, small businesses, medium businesses from all around the world can actually market their products, their awesome services to anyone on the globe. Yep. But so this is a kind of equalizer. You don't have to be anymore like a huge brand with huge marketing, you know, budgets, with sophisticated marketing funnels to actually get in contact with someone and get their attention and show that, you know, show what awesomeness you've got to offer to them. But from the other hand, there is a temptation because we've got tools on the market to automate those stuff. There's a temptation actually to go really wide, not necessarily with the good prospecting. And I truly believe that the main aspect about the, let's say, potential success or failure of the cold outreach of any kind is kind of empathetical approach to your recipients. So really, really good prospecting, let's say, maximizing the probability based on the data, based on the information, maximizing the probability that what you've got to offer may be something of an interest to your recipient. And that actually there are some signals that they might need it right now or in a, let's say, relatively soon future. So that's the key aspects. All the technicalities, you know, I don't know, like warming up your infrastructure or choosing some particular tools and, you know, even copy is actually less important than a really, really good prospecting.
Yeah, I know that's a great point too. And there's a lot of great tools out there for that as well. Like Apollo is another great tool that a lot of people have access to for relatively cheap lead generation or email contact and generation. They also have a tool that they partner with as well. I think it's called Bombora, where they provide intent data. So you can look for, you know, maybe high intent people to send cold emails to. But yeah, make sure that you're hitting, you know, your ideal customer profile, the right buyer profile within that company, with an offer, like you mentioned, with an offer that really speaks to what their needs are and what their core expertise is. Exactly. So yeah, we'll totally agree with you there. What else do you think is wrong with cold email marketing? I agree the spray and pray tactics are pretty much out the window now. Any other tips for people to improve on their cold email marketing, and especially how do they scale their program in an effective way without, you know, pushing it too far?
Well, that's a tricky question, and actually not an easy. Well, actually, it's not an easy question because it all depends. But I think that in order to scale, you really need to make sure that there's a fit, so that you're like on the small scale, things work. So first of all, you really need to like approach it strategically, and cold outreach is actually a result of really good understanding of yourself, of your value that you have to deliver, and what kind of problems it solves. Yeah. Indeed, as you said, identifying the ideal customer profile, ideal buyer profile, identifying the signals that might show that interest. So that's one thing. And in order to scale it, you really need to like nail it on the small numbers. I am definitely not a fan of, let's say, and I did hear it from various like consultants and experts in the sales space, that cold email is actually a numbers game and it's a volumes game. I believe that in order to be able to scale it, you really need a proof from the market that, well, first of all, your profiling is well, your offer is well positioned, your copy is good, your prospecting practices are good. And when you nail it, then gradually you can actually scale it. And it the scaling up should be a consequence of that kind of approach, that you do know that things work, that people do resonate with your offer, with your messaging that you've got. So why not the rest of the world learn about you and what you've got to offer? Because definitely there's something awesome that you do have to offer. But I'm not a fan of just scaling for the sake of scaling and seeing that there will be some numbers at some point. And because it then with scaling not proved, let's say tactics or strategies may give you much more harm, and actually like kill completely your deliverability, because very soon people will start marking you as, you know, as a spammer. Mm-hmm. People will definitely not, you know, not resonate with your messaging. Your IP reputation, your domain reputation will be affected by those factors, and soon you won't be able to actually get out there with your offering. Or you're going to have to spend some time, energy, and talent of your team to actually deal with the deliverability issues and, let's say, dealing with the challenges. So I'm also not a fan of, like, creating multiple domains for the sendouts so that you can send more. I think that if you really... If you are ready to, like, send... on a scale, meaning you've got those like basics proven, you've got your process tweaked, then you don't need multiple domains. You can actually keep the same and scale on this one, and it already has a reputation, positive reputation. So your messages will be delivered, but it will happen if there's a resonance, if there's actually a fit of everything that we talked about before. So I'm not a fan of just creating new domain, warming it up, and then burning it. I'm more of a fan of a quality over quantity. Actually, the whole conversion numbers are much better when you've got those basics kind of put in place. I hope it makes sense. But yeah, it's as you said, like sending out to the business email addresses instead of personal email addresses. It may be tempting because to send to personal email addresses because they don't fluctuate that often. People just keep them for years, not necessarily, so people change business email addresses when they change employers or whatsoever, or companies get out of the business, or there are rebrandings. But if it comes to the personal, people do stay with their email addresses usually for a much longer time. So there is a temptation, but indeed, well, first of all, it may be considered as spam, as a kind of abuse of the context that we are in. It's a switch to personal context instead of the business context. That's one thing. Another thing is that, like as you mentioned, Google and Yahoo are introducing have been introducing some changes, and there have been a lot of hype and a lot of conversations about that in the industry. It may be a little bit overhyped, but I think that in general, for the whole email ecosystem, it's good that we are talking about those things and that we are educating ourselves. Definitely, we should not be like scared about those changes, because there's no like revolution. It's just an evolutionary step. But back to my point, those changes actually are implemented to protect the personal mailboxes. So actually, everything that Google announced, and all the rules that they start to actually be strict on, they apply only to personal email inboxes on Gmail, Google Mail, and Yahoo, of course, on Yahoo. So it does not impact the business Google Workspace email addresses, at least not yet. So those rules are actually going to be affecting mostly those marketers, those sales people who are targeting consumers, not businesses. So that's also a very important aspect to maybe it's yet another reason for keeping the business context business and going personal when there's a personal connection, or personal context when there's a consumer actually.
Any other points around their spam policies that people should be aware of? A lot of people aren't talking about that, actually, the difference between the personal and the workspace email policy that recently rolled out.
Mm-hmm. Actually, those rules that Google announced, they're, as I said, it's not a revolution. It's actually this is just an enforcement of that good practices. So they've got like main three, there are like three main points of those rules. One is authenticate. So make sure that you protect your infrastructure. So set up the SPF or DKIM for the smaller senders. And for the bigger senders, set up both SPM, DKIM, but also DMARC rules. It can be like non-rule. I know it may sound a bit technical and too many abbreviations, but authentication is super important. So making sure that actually you are protecting your own identity, so that Google and actually everyone in the email ecosystem can be sure that when they receive an email from your domain, it's actually you that sent an email, or your brand that sent that email. And that's not someone that is trying to impersonate you, to fish data from your customers or whatsoever. So authentication is super important. It always have been important. Actually, it's in our, you know, our it should be priority for us not to let other, you know, malicious agents to impersonate us. So this is a super important factor. And for Google, Yahoo, and other email service providers, it's also like when you've got the authentication set up properly, they know it was you. So if there have been some mistakes, it's been you who made them, and you can together you can resolve it. Like Postmasters from Google will help you resolve the challenges, your deliverability challenges, and they will be more eager to do that because they know it was you and not someone, you know, trying to pretend they are you. So authentication is number one, super important aspect, always have been. Finally, it is being by the major players enforced, and it is being enforced gradually. So it's not like, you know, it's not like big bang. If it comes to the changes, they are gradually introducing that. They also with a really good communication, so you should not be like surprised, and there will not be a disaster. So that's one thing. The second part is the spam rates. And again, it always have an important fact. So so you definitely don't want your emails to be marked as spam. Google right now is actually saying that you should aim to be on less than 0.1% spam rates. So meaning 0.1 percentile of your recipients is marking your messages as spam, but the problems will be there with deliverability if you are on the level of 0.3%, so 3 percentiles, which is not, it can happen. So that's why actually it becomes more and more important to, as I said, to make sure that what you've got to send is going to be of a potential interest of your recipients, and that they will not be actually marking your emails as spam. So that's the second thing. And the third thing, actually, it's for the big senders. So the big senders are those, at least Google put some number, because probably they had to put any number. Well, they had to put some number, most likely for the statistical aspects and being able to like have their triggers set up properly. But they are naming big sender those senders that send more than 5,000 emails per day. So it's a lot of emails. So and especially to the consumer email mailboxes, because that's what Gmail and Google sees. So with that said, essentially, if you are sending more than 5,000 emails per day, you definitely have to have your things right, right? If it comes to authentication, if it comes to your email practices, if you send less, then this third rule is not like applicable, at least not yet to you. And the rule is easy unsubscribe. And actually, they are enforcing one-click unsubscribe. Of course, with the option for, you know, for having the unsubscribe like preference centers, etc. Mm-hmm. But there should be, if you are sending more than that, than 5K per day, you have to have one-click unsubscribe. They are not yet like fully enforcing it, because it's not that easy, at least not based on what I know right now. But there's an intention that they will be enforcing that, and that they will be marking you as spam if you don't have that with huge volumes of emails to be sent. So as you can see, those are not like revolutionary stuff. Those are things that have been there for at least the email community was talking about those for a very long time. But finally, some ESPs, meaning Google and Yahoo, just started enforcing it. But I'd say in a pretty nicely manageable way, with a lot of communication, with a lot of support, with really good guidelines of what you should do and what you should not be doing. And those are not rocket science. This is some stuff that have been in core of email communication for years.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anything too drastic, but of course, this is the trend. So as more people get into cold email marketing, because, you know, like you mentioned earlier, it's cheap, it's easy, easy to be abused as well, because it's so easy, such an easy entry point for any company. So, you know, we'll likely see the continuance of this too over time. So that's why, you know, it's really important that companies get their email marketing foundation right from the beginning. Yeah. You know, philosophically, you can't build a house without a good foundation. So these are some great tips that you just laid out here. I guess, where do you see email deliverability rules going next over the next few years? Do you think they're going to continue to get more strict, or do you think they're going to introduce any new rules that companies should be aware of?
Well, it's right now it's hard to hard to predict because things do change rapidly recently. But as you can see, those particular changes that the big guys have introduced are nothing super new. There will be more enforcement, probably. There will be more sophisticated tools to identify spam, to properly identify spam. There are some conversations about, for example, you know, identifying the AI generated content being sent out as well. There's nothing wrong with using the technology, with using the content, but it meaning the artificial intelligence and generative AI. But there are some conversations that the main email service providers, the big guys that have actually the capital and the resources to build a technology to identify the AI generated content, will be using it to identify those, you know, those actually spammers that create a ton of content cheaply and just blast it to the recipients, because we've seen all sorts of different in the industry different approaches of indeed just sending out, let's say, random content just to see if someone resonates with it so that you can better prospect those people. Yep. But actually you're sending spam in order to identify the potential. How they respond to spam will be your indication and signal whether they might be interested in your offering, which is not that good tactic at all. But that there will be some conversations here. But I believe there won't be any drastic changes actually in coming couple years, because the, you know, email service providers, their interest is to have their users, their customers, to be happy with the email communication channel. So they cannot like mark everything as spam because there might be some messages that those folk, you know, their customers are interested in. Of course, there's a ton of spam. Like Google is saying that 99% of the emails that they receive is categorized as spam. So we can imagine, you know, how many emails you don't see at all, because their filters, anti-spam filters, just protected you and your energy, your attention, your inbox from unsolicited emails. So it's good that those folks are introducing more, let's say, sophistication into the anti-spam filters, because we all benefit from that. But from the other hand, some legit, let's say, senders may get affected by those. But the main intention is not to, you know, not to fight small businesses that try to reach out to, you know, other humans with their offering. It's the intention is actually to fight with those, you know, cyber criminals, with the huge spammers. And we sometimes get a ricochet, of course, as senders. But it's also, you know, it's also about some shift of the mindset, because especially in the email, let's say, email administrators, postmasters, cold email as well is being perceived as a spamming practice, because to some extent it is. It's not like if you don't prospect really well, your emails, you don't have any, you know, permission of the recipient to receive an email from you. You are in some way assuming it based on the profiling, based on the signals, based on the fact that it's a business email, but it can be identified as spam. So there may be some at some point indeed changes in this space, and we all should be just, you know, observing the situation and trying to adapt.
Yeah, especially if they get, you know, they're sending too many emails, right? So you might send one, they ignore it. Two, some of these people, like I see them preaching, you know, sending like 7 email sequences to people. And I'm like, not these days. Nobody likes to get 7, you know, solicitation emails. If they didn't respond to the first or second, you know, going back to respect, right? I think there's going to be a pushback on that too. So, you know, limiting the amount of emails you send to people, if they're not interested, they're not interested, just write them off. I guess, why do companies come to Bouncer? And under what conditions, and why do they choose to work with you guys?
We've got, of course, different type of customers on different, let's say, their proficiency levels in email or awareness. Because we are as well trying to educate customers, and even though we are small. Small company comparing to some of our competitors, but we try to preach as much as we can and educate people that they have to take care of their deliverability. So we've got, you know, we've got all sorts of customers. We've got like biggest NGOs as our customers, biggest brands, but also a lot of small businesses, single operators, etc. So it all depends on, let's say, customer profile, our customer profile. But those that are actually aware of the necessity to like clean your list from undeliverable email addresses or toxic email addresses in order to just maintain high reputation, send the reputation, and maintain the good deliverability, those usually come to us because we've got amazing products and really caring team. As I said, we are a small team, but one of our, of course, everyone proudly says that when they're running their business, that they really care, truly care about their customers. We care about our customers a lot as well.
Yeah, you guys have been great to work with, by the way. So everybody I've interacted with over there seems really passionate. So I could definitely second that.
Yeah, it's amazing team. Really, if there's one thing that I'm like proud the most, it's the team that we have built and the culture that we have co-created in our team. The other thing that we are super proud of is the product. Like especially as actually we believe that in the ideal world, email verification should not be as necessary as it is. So because it is, we try to make it as easy to use and as easy to solve the problems as is possible, so that we don't steal time and energy and talent of marketers that are using our solution, that they can just come to us, clean their lists or verify their email addresses on the go on their registration forms or whatsoever. And they can focus on what they do the best. So, you know, marketing their solutions. That is super important to us. And those have been the main factors why people come to us. Some have been referred by our partners, like email service providers, that told them, hey, you've got, like, it looks like you, especially like, for example, one business was migrating from one provider to another, and they had like an old list in one place. So they were moving to another better email service provider, and they brought their list with them, of course, because it's a valuable asset. And this marketing, let's say, automation tool or sales automation tool said, it's too dirty. Go to Bouncer, clean it, and come back. Of course, this customer is not super happy to do that, because they need to spend their dollars on email verification instead of some better causes. But I hope that when they interact with us, they see that there's a lot of value in that. We've got also customers that have learned about the deliverability platforms and platform like ours because they had a deliverability disaster, whether it was they were trying to solve the issues themselves because they were reporting, you know, blocked on some block lists, anti-spam block lists, or they have been referred to us by the email and deliverability experts, to which they reached out to solve some issues. So of course those customers are as well not super happy about the fact that they need to interact with the company like ours, but I hope that they are happy to interact with us because we usually go an extra mile to solve their challenges. Plus we've got also it's really cool to see that as well. We've got also more and more customers that start to be aware that instead of, you know, resolving an issue, instead of fighting the crisis, you can actually protect yourself, you can prevent, you can be proactive and just introduce some practices, some tactics, some safety steps in your process to just make sure that you are going to be maintaining, you know, a high reputation. And the reputation, you know, sender reputation, email reputation is like any kind of reputation. You have to build it. You have to build a trust of the surrounding to you have to gain a reputation. It's relatively easy to lose it, and then it's very difficult to rebuild it. So instead of losing it and rebuilding it, it's good to like introduce the practices right off the bat.
You don't want to go to them when you're actually really, you know, when you've gotten really sick. You know, if you see the symptoms, go deal with it, or better yet, build a better foundation from day one with your email marketing.
Yeah, and we've got more and more customers coming to us actually because the awareness also increases, also because of the, you know, the shows like this one, the webinars like this one, we are able to just tell to the people, yeah, it's not that we just want your money. That's why we build Bouncer. We really want to make sure that you're not gonna have huge problems. Of course, we do appreciate your money as in an exchange of value that we provide, because we're, you know, for profit sustainable business. But the biggest goal of our is to let you get and stay connected via email.
Great. Well, Radek, it's been a Radek. It's a Radek, right?
Yeah.
Great. Perfect. Okay. Radek, it's been so great chatting with you today. And, you know, I think email deliverability is, you know, very important, especially now more than ever. It's definitely, you know, important for companies to get their, make sure their lists are clean. So that's all part of the process. If you want to have a successful campaign, build the right foundation initially to ensure your email marketing success over the long term, because hopefully your business is in it for the long term, not some short-term games. Once again, really appreciate it. If anybody's interested in Bouncer, definitely go check out their website. It's usebouncer.com. That's use as in using something, and bouncer as in the guy that throws you out of the club if you're sending too much spam. So usebouncer.com. And we also have it in Nacho Nacho's B2B SaaS marketplace for 20% cash back when you get it through us. Once again, you know, very excited about this partnership. Nacho Nacho loves having great tools like this and to help you guys out there build better email marketing success. Once again, Radek, thank you so much for coming on today. And
thank you, Andy.
Continued partnership.
Thank you. Really appreciate that. Cheers.
Cool. Yeah. Sorry. The